All right, tonight we're going to take up our continuing of the Apostles of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have studied the original 12. I asked Sharon, which is the best way to say this? Is it the original 12 or the 12 original apostles? Whichever way I guess you want to say it. We studied the first 12 of the apostles. And tonight we're going to be looking at Saul of Tarsus and some things about him. Now, if you would, take your scriptures and turn to Matthew 10:39. This really doesn't have any relationship to Paul other than I believe this describes his his life. Matthew 10 and verse number 39. The scripture says, He that findeth his life shall lose it, he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. And I believe this is exactly what Paul did. He lost his life, the life that he had, the life that he was so engulfed in and so intertwined in the life that he had been given. And we'll look a little bit about some of his background. But the scripture says here he found his life because he lost his life. He lost that way that he had and found a new way, a much better way, found in the Lord Jesus Christ. And these 12 men that we have studied have certainly given us an overall perspective of the type of people that the Lord had in his first church or his first group of gathering together, those 12 men that were changed by the Lord, and the change in them certainly has changed the world. Acts chapter 1, somebody said, well, we're leaving out one. We can only mention Matthias just briefly because he is only mentioned two times in the scripture in Acts chapter 1, verse 23 and verse number 26. We find that the church, the apostles came together, or the church came together, and they had two men that they were going to have to take Judas's place, for Judas had gone out and hanged himself. And now they have to have someone to take over and or fill that position. And the lot fell upon Matthias. And he is only listed here two times in Scripture that he continued with the apostles. And he did those things as the apostles did after the book of as the book of Acts was going forth. Not anything else said about him. But there is an apostle to the Gentiles that much is said about him. And most of our New Testament scriptures was penned under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit using this man that we're going to study tonight, the first part of his life, as Saul, who later became the Apostle Paul, the Apostle to the Gentiles. Now, the first 12, those 12 apostles were to the Jew primarily. And they offered the kingdom to the Jew, and they rejected that. Now, when Paul first started out and first started his ministry and his work, he also was to the Jew, but he had a vision one day, and the men of Macedonia said, come and help us. And so we find that he became that apostle to the Gentiles that was blessed of the Lord and given many, many blessings. Over in the book of 1 Corinthians, let's turn there just for a moment. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we have here the story. We have here the listing of those that saw the resurrected Christ. We use this verse Easter Sunday, and how that Paul was listed here as he writes this to the church of Corinth, how that the Lord was seen of Cephas and the 12 and above 500 brethren. And at that time, Paul says the greater part of those were still living. They remained unto this day, Paul says. And then he was seen after that of James and of all the apostles. And then verse 8, Paul says, and last of all he was seen of me also as one born out of due time. So Saul of Tarsus, who later became the apostle, that recognized that he had a special revelation given to him to see the Lord Jesus. He recognized that he was a man that was not born in the time of all the other apostles, but yet the Lord had opened himself up and let him view him. giving him that rightful authority to say that he saw the resurrected Christ. That was one of the prerequisites to be an apostle, to be able to see the resurrected Lord. The subject tonight is Saul of Tarsus. He has thought in his life, I'm sure that as you study the life of Paul, and we could start tonight and take weeks and weeks and weeks on the life of Paul. As you study his life and read his testimony of where the Lord found him and what condition that he found himself in, I believe we could rightfully and honestly be able to say that Paul thought probably he was one of the greatest men that had ever lived. He was full of that arrogance, and he was that one that had the knowledge that he had the pedigree, he had everything needed to be a great man, and he had disciplined himself, and he had gone through the studies, and he had, by his own efforts and his accomplishments, he had done many wonderful things, full of pride and self-satisfaction. He would be, in our vernacular, our terminology, we would say he was probably a self-made man. He was a man that had come up and had done good for himself, but one day he met the Lord Jesus Christ. And that certainly changed his life. On that day, on the road to Damascus, as recorded to us in the book of Acts, he discovered that really he had never accomplished anything. He discovered that he had never amounted to much. He discovered that in relationship to the Lord, that really instead of being a winner, he was a loser. And he was one that really recognized his position. When he looked upon the Lord, he had the understanding that he was frail, he was nothing, and had no power in his own self, and that the only thing that he could do was fall upon the grace of God and to know that God could bless him and God could help him. You see, all of us have to come to that point in our life also. Now, we have to come to the understanding that we are nothing. We have to come, no matter what we've accomplished, no matter what we've done, no matter where we've studied, no matter what kind of life we have made for ourselves, we have to realize that in comparison to the Lord Jesus Christ, we haven't accomplished anything. And outside of Christ, we will accomplish nothing and have no hope in the life that is ahead. So I guess we find that Paul was a very successful loser because he lost it all, that what he had. And he counted later on, he says, I count that as just the waste. And I count it as dung, and he said it's nothing. And so he realized that he had to lose all those things. You know, sometimes we as a child of God, sometimes we have to unlearn some things after we get saved. We have to unlearn that it's not exactly the way we've always thought it was, or somehow that people have not given us the whole view of things. And when the Lord comes in our life and the Holy Spirit indwells us, we begin to learn, we begin to formulate some of our own opinions and our own ideas according to the Scripture. And so I believe Paul did this and realized that everything that he thought was good to begin with was nothing but ungodliness and terribleness. And so we find that when you study this man called Paul, that later is known as Paul, he starts out as the man called Saul of Tarsus. He was born in that area called Tarsus of Cilicia, and he is known by that name, Saul of Tarsus. It was just like it would be you and I from Madisonville. We would have that distinction. This is where we live, or maybe as it is here where Paul was born, we might could say. And it's very interesting, Kentucky. You travel around the state of Kentucky, everybody, if you ask them where they're from, they always tell you what county. I guess it's because there's no very well-known cities that we can call our attention to. And so we're just from certain county. And it doesn't matter if you're in West Kentucky, Central Kentucky, or Eastern Kentucky. It's always, where are you from? Well, I'm from such and such county. Well, Paul was from Tarsus. And this city was a very distinguished city. It was a very wealthy city. All of its inhabitants was well-to-do, and wealth had come upon them, had a very influential university there, and probably even had higher reputation and a better reputation than the universities of Athens and, Alexandria of that day. And so it wasn't a low class place. It wasn't a place that was just existing, but it was a very influential. And here Saul was born and spent his youth and joined the best education of his city and that could be given. Another important thing that later became very important to Paul was that he was born as a Roman citizen. He was a free-born man. That gave him very special privileges as a preacher of the gospel. There are certain freedoms that Roman citizens had that nobody else had. And if you accuse someone, or if you, in Paul's case, he was beaten and he said, "I appeal to Caesar." And he could do that because he was a Roman citizen. And if you, as a citizen, appealed to Caesar, that meant you felt as though you had been, your freedoms or your rights had been taken advantage of. And so that made Saul very free in that empire. He could do and go where he wanted to go, and most everywhere he went preaching the gospel after he heard the message of salvation. He wasn't like the others. Many of those were slaves, and many of those were second-class citizens, and the class system that many countries had. Paul was up there on the top, and he had the best of the situation. The name Saul, it simply means prayed for. It makes me wonder if his parents, they were religious, we understand that. It makes me wonder if they did not pray for a son, maybe like Hannah did, and God answered their prayer and gave them a son. And so the name Saul just simply means prayed for, and became a man that had a great name in his society and his people. Maybe the parents did pray, and they asked God for not just a baby, but asked God for a son. And when God gave them a son, they called his name Saul, saying he was prayed for. He was requested of God, and I'm sure that they tried to give him the best of all that they had as people and citizens of that place called Tarsus. He was a man who probably knew his parents loved him. They cared for him. They gave him the best of education of his day. He grew up in Jerusalem, and he had a spiritual place. He grew up and had the Jerusalem influence, the spiritual influence upon him. For by the way, Jerusalem is that spiritual center of this world. There are those that say Jerusalem is, if you lay a map out flat and if you situate it just right, Jerusalem will be the center of the earth and the center of our world. And that may be true, but I know it is spiritually. It is that holy city. It's that city of David. That city of peace. It's the place where the Messiah one day walked and had his being and influenced these other 12 men that we have studied about in our weeks of looking at these men. That certainly moved the world around them and continues to move by their message and by what they did. And so he had his dwelling. He was from Tarsus, but he had his dwelling in early life, early adulthood in Jerusalem, and that city that everybody knew, that where Jesus was. I'm sure he heard about the Lord. He had heard from the Pharisees. He had heard from that religious crowd of that renegade man called Jesus. And how he was stirring up the people around them, and how that he had heard the message of the Sanhedrin and looked upon them and listened to them. And so we find that Paul or Saul was a man that was influenced by the people of his day. And by the way, we're all influenced by those around us. We are influenced, and I pray God would help us to be an influence, a right kind. And here in Jerusalem, where Jesus walked and had much of his ministry, Saul seemed to realize that he had greatness in store for him. He was very zealous for the things of his religion. And he was one that was going to try his best to stamp out this thing called Christianity. I'm sure it was not called Christianity at that time, for they were first called Christians at Antioch. That was later on. But Paul, realizing his pedigree, and by the way, his pedigree didn't help him much. Doesn't matter who your parents are, you have to know who you're real father is. Doesn't matter who your mom and dad is, but you better have a holy father And I'm not talking about the Pope. I'm talking about the Holy One of God, God Himself. And so we find here that Paul had certainly a high esteem for himself. All you have to do is read his testimony. And he gives us those things. Paul's success was not in who he was physically. It was not in who he was religiously. His religion was not going to help him. I wish today there'd be a lot of people, I wish there'd be a lot of folks today that would come to an understanding that their religion is not going to help them. It's not religion that helps. It's not religion that takes care of us. It is the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I know religion's all involved in that, but we need to understand that it's not religion that deals us and helps us and gets us to heaven. It's only through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn over, if you would, to the book of Acts chapter 22. Acts chapter number 22 and verse number 3. Have that listed there. Let's look at, just go ahead and read verse number 1. Paul, hear his defense. Says, men, brethren, fathers, hear ye my defense, which I make now unto you. And when they heard that he spake in the Hebrew tongue to them, they kept the more silence, and he saith, I'm verily a man which am a Jew, born in Tarsus, the city of Cilicia, yet brought up in this city at the feet of Gamaliel, and taught according to the perfect manner of the law of the fathers, and was zealous toward God, as ye all are this day. And I persecuted this way unto the death, binding and delivering in prison both men and women. And as also the high priest doth bear me witness in all the estate of the elders, from whom also I received letters unto the brethren, and went to Damascus to bring them which were there bound unto Jerusalem for to be punished. And it came to pass that as I made my journey and was come nigh to Damascus, about noon, suddenly there shone from heaven a great light round about me. Here we find Paul talking about his background. He gives us again, as we stated a moment ago, where he was born and the place of his nationality. He was a Jew. And when they heard him speak in the Hebrew tongue, they recognized something different about Paul. He may have been a Roman citizen and had Roman rights, but he was also a Jew that could speak and did speak. And he said, I was born there, but I was raised here in this place. And I sat at the feet, or I sat at the teacher, he gives his name here, the feet of Gamaliel, and taught according to the perfect manner of the law of the fathers, and was zealous toward God, as you all are this day. So here we find that Saul was born of a strict sect of the Jew. He later tells us that he was a Pharisee, and he was of the tribe of Benjamin. He was of pure, unmixed Jewish blood. And he had all that going for him as far as his religion was concerned. Acts 23 and verse 6, when Paul perceived that the one part were Sadducees and the other Pharisees, he cried out in the council, men and brethren, I am a Pharisee, a son of a Pharisee. Of the hope and resurrection of the dead, I am called in question. So Paul is making his defense for what he has done. He has been bound in chains. He has been put in jail. And by the way, Paul found most of his ministry in jail, in prison. Many of the letters that we have in our New Testament that are part of the canon of the Scripture or included in the Word of God was written from a jail cell. And that does not necessarily mean that he was a lawbreaker, but he was put in jail for what he believed and what he stood for. And so he calls into these people, he makes them to understand that he was a Jew, he was a Pharisee, he was born of a Pharisee, The scripture says that he was of the tribe of Benjamin. He knew exactly his lineage. He knew his religion. And all of it was spotless, pure, and clean. He was taught by the best teacher, Gamaliel. Gamaliel was one that had the understanding of the law of Moses and had the had a school and taught. And Paul sat at the feet of that man and had much information given to him. He was groomed for wonderful things as far as his religion was concerned. Now, sometimes people are groomed from the time they're born until later in life, until they take over a position that has been sort of laid out and prepared for them. Sometimes I believe the devil grooms some people to take positions, and sometimes I believe that happens. But I know the Lord puts us in places, and the Lord puts us in positions where that we can have certain things given to us that will help us in where we are going to be serving Him. And so the scripture tells us that Paul was zealous. He was full of energy. He believed what he believed. He worked as hard as he could, and the verse there that we read a while ago, he said, I had zeal just like you have. But later he found out it was wrong. It wasn't toward God. And he understood that after the road to Damascus experience. Full of zeal, full of energy, full of activity. Consumed with things. Consumed with putting down this rebellion. Putting down the Christian, putting down the believers, and these folks that are a threat to the Jewish way of life. Paul was very zealous in making sure that did not go any farther. He did that because he thought he was doing right. If anybody would ever say sincerity would make you right, Paul was sincere. I've heard people say, well, those folks are sincere. Well, you can be sincere and be wrong. And Paul was there. He had the zeal to do that, but yet it was pointed the wrong direction. We read here that he had gone to these places with letters unto the brethren. He went to Damascus to bring them which were there bound. He went to Damascus to take those that had already been bound, already been caught, and bring them back to Jerusalem, and many of them to be stoned, many of them to be crucified. And then when you read Acts chapter 8, chapter 9, his conversion, you'll find that he went with papers in hand. If he found anybody else, he could bind them. So he had the authority to bring them under subjection of the Jewish law and bring them back to Jerusalem. So he had much zeal. I believe Paul was a man that anything he did 100%. He didn't slack. He didn't back off. When he was wrong, he was 100% wrong. When he went away from the way he was away from God and going the way of the Jew, he was 100% a Pharisee. He even says, "I was a Pharisee of the Pharisees." And so he believed what he did and did all that he could to promote what he thought was right. And then after he got saved, thank the Lord, he still had that same attitude. Those that resisted his religion, he was going to take care of them. Those that were against Judaism, he was going to bind them. He was going to imprison them. He was going to make sure they were punished. Those that were calling by the going by the name of Christ, he was going to make sure they were considered blasphemers. And he had everything in his ability. He did everything in his ability to make sure that he put down this new thing of following Jesus Christ. That's Saul of Tarsus. He made havoc of the lives of people of God. Chaos. He destroyed. He tore down. He held the coats of men that would stone other men that named the name of Christ. He gave his vote and gave his voice that they would be stoned to death as Stephen. And so Saul was a very powerful man. He was a man that had much power given unto him. And Paul really believed that he was blameless in doing this because he was doing the work of God. You know, there's some folks tonight that really feel they're blameless And they feel like they're doing the work of God. But according to Scripture, they're not. And so we have to try to give the truth and try to show them the way. He believed, I believe Paul thought it was the duty of man to obey God. He understood that what he did because of the God of heaven. Now, you have to remember the Pharisees. When you study Paul, you can just go so many different directions. You have to understand the Pharisees were the religious sect of Paul's day, of Jesus' day, that controlled the religious affairs of the Jews. They were Pharisees and there were Sadducees. That's two main groups. They were totally at opposite ends of the spectrum when it came to what they believed. The Pharisees, we would call them the, I guess probably they would be the fundamentalists that believed everything right down the line. There wasn't any liberals in them. They believed more than they ought to believe. They put more stock in tradition than they did the Word of God, sort of like some fundamentalists I know. And put a lot of stock in what we've always done. And the Sadducees, they were more modernistic, more liberal in their thought. The Sadducees did not believe in the resurrection of anything. They just did not teach that. The Pharisees did. And so they were at opposite ends. But when it came to the Lord Jesus Christ, they joined together to destroy him. You see, a lot of times enemies will get together to destroy what they both want destroyed. And but Paul was, as far as he was concerned, he was blameless. Couldn't anybody point at Paul and say he didn't keep the law? Couldn't anybody point at this man Saul and say he didn't know because he didn't know? He had been taught. He had gone to the university. He had sat at the feet of this man that had all the wisdom of the day. But he was doing this all to make sure that this thing about the Lord would be stamped out. But you know, that was his religion. It didn't help him. He lost all of that when he met Jesus Christ. His success was not according to his family, and neither is ours. Our success is not according to our religion, even if it's Baptist. And that's not going to get it. Our success is that we have to go down to defeat like Paul did, or Saul. Our defeat is that which comes at a time in our life that we have to surrender and have to give up. The New Testament calls that salvation. We surrender ourselves to the Lord. The song says, all to Jesus I surrender, all to him. It says, I surrender all. I give up. I give over. What that's saying is that I'm defeated. That I cannot depend upon anything. And by the way, salvation, as long as we depend on anything except the Lord, we're not going to have salvation. Our names can be on the church roll, we can be baptized, we can do all the religious activities as Paul did, but that doesn't make us right with God. The only thing that will make us right with God is for the Lord to come and change our life, make us over new, and we must understand that we have raised the flag of surrender and I'm defeated. I cannot do it myself. And so, the greatest thing that happened to Paul's life, in Saul's life rather, was the day that he was defeated. Turn over to Philippians chapter 3. He tells us about his stock and tells us all the things that he's given. He says that he'd gone through all the rituals of his religion in Philippians 3. 5, he said, I was of the tribe of Benjamin, Hebrew, touching the law, Pharisee, zeal, persecuting the church, touching righteousness, which is the law, blameless. All those things, Paul said, this is what I was. But then he says in verse 7, and here's his defeat. But what things were gain to me, I counted loss for Christ. All those ladders, all those steps of the ladder that Paul was rising up, and all the things that were being said about him by his peers, how that he's a great man, he's destined for a good life, he's going to have a great a great life of doing these things as a Jew. Paul said, I counted all that loss. The word loss there means, he said, I counted it as nothing for Christ. Yea, doubtless, in verse 8, and I count all things but loss or nothing for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. Paul said, everything that the world showered down on me, everything that my religion gave to me, everything that my parents gave to me, he said, I counted it nothing more than just the waste of an animal. Nothing. Why? He says here that I may win Christ. That I may have that knowledge. He says to know him, to know the power of his resurrection. Paul tells us, and be found in him. It's a wonderful thing to be found in Christ. Oh, what a blessing. It's more than being found in your family. It's more than having a good name. It's more than having a pedigree behind you. It's more than having degrees after you to be found in Him. And Paul said, all those things I've counted as loss and dung, and to be found in Him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. And here's this great statement, verse number 10. That I may know him, the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. Saul, he had everything as far as society was concerned. He was going. He was on his way up. He said, but that wasn't anything. The most important thing, and now we're dealing with Paul, the apostle, and he's remembering and rehearsing those things as what he was and what he had. And he says, but those things were nothing when I consider the excellency of Christ. When I consider all the things of the Lord and what he has done. And he said, I gave all that up. I lost all of that. I counted it as nothing. He said, I just want to know, and the most important thing is to be found in him, not of my own righteousness, but of the righteousness that comes from God by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And my friend, that is salvation. That's what we have in Christ. And then he says, that I may know him. He didn't just want to have a passing knowledge of the Lord. Remember now, Saul, 100% Saul. Now he's 100% Paul, that I may know him. I know what Gamaliel taught me. I know what my parents gave me. I know what society has offered me. But now I want to know him. And he gives us three or four things here. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection. Boy, to bring life to a corpse takes power. When Jesus arose from the dead, it took the power of God to do that. When Lazarus was brought forth before Jesus Christ, it took the power of God to do that. But you know what? It takes the power of God to bring us from death to life. We that were dead in sins and trespasses, now he has quickened, made us alive. It takes the power of God. And Paul said, I want to know that power. Not only the power of his resurrection, but the fellowship of his suffering. That's a strange statement. I don't know of any of us that wants to suffer. But Paul said, I'd like to have fellowship with the suffering of the Son of God. And Paul did have. First of all, he says, study that I may know him. Now he says, suffering. And then lastly, he says, I may be conformable to his death. That's surrender. Paul said, these are the things that I want now. Saul said, this is what, as he met the Lord and he began to grow in God's mercy and grace, Paul realized all the things that he had, and now he's defeated in that and he counts them as nothing. Something happened to Paul on the road to Damascus. When he got to Damascus, he wasn't the same man that left Jerusalem. one thing, and it was a man by the name of Jesus that happened to him. I put here, no church can do that, no prayer can do that, no religious effort can do that. Nobody can do that except Jesus. Saul has been conquered now by the Lord. He looks at himself and his life. He said, now I want to be conformable. Now I want to know him. Now I want to fellowship with him. Now I want to surrender to him. The value of our personal relationship with Jesus Christ is more important than anything we own. Being born again into the family of God, what a blessing that is. Even the younger brother of Jesus had to be born again. Letting him in our heart, letting him intertwine in our thoughts and our being, and letting him speak to us and encourage us and guide us. It's not of religion, it's not of pedigree, it's not of heritage, it's of grace. All of grace. All of grace is my story from earth to glory. It's all because of grace. This defeat that Saul suffered was so successful that he even had his name changed. He didn't want to be known as Saul. God didn't want him known as what he was. And now the Lord wants him to have a new name, and he calls him Paul in Acts chapter 16. Saul was the proud. That was a very spiritual name of a man who and his family thought that he was bound for destiny of good things. The word Paul means little, not much. And in comparison to Christ, we are nothing. And it only comes when we hear the good grace of God. So tonight we have looked at, briefly, the life of a man called Saul. Saul of Tarsus. He was religious, very devout. I put down here memorized portions of Scripture. I'm sure he did. The Jews are known for their memorization of the Word of God. He made sure that his activities were according to all the commandments. He's a Pharisee of the Pharisees. He lived what he believed. He was not only religious, but he was retaliatory. That means he took action against anything that threatened what he believed was right. He was a warrior. He brings that over into the New Testament writings where he talks about being a good soldier. He was resilient. He was unstoppable. He kept on going. And he was rebellious against the God of heaven and did not even realize it until he met Jesus Christ. But thank God one day he met the Lord, and Saul, the rebellious individual, prideful person, now becomes the Apostle Paul. And I was going to look up this afternoon how many times Paul gives testimony that he was an apostle. And I'll try to have that before we do the next one, week after next. But many of the books that Paul writes, he says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ. He didn't overlord the people that were in these churches, but he wanted them to know that he had the authority from God and what he was saying was important. And he makes sure they understand he is an apostle. A couple of times he says, called of God. I know one time, not of man. So he distinguishes himself different, apart from other people, because he was an apostle. Of the 12 that we have studied so far, they certainly did make an impression upon this world. But none have been used, none were used to the extent that this man, that now we'll forget the name Saul, none have been used to the extent of this man called Paul. Little, insignificant, frail, had an infirmity of the flesh that buffeted his body. What a giant he was. for the cause of Christ. And I believe with all my heart that we have the gospel here tonight because of this man named Paul. For when you read his letters and read about his missionary journeys, those two and probably three journeys that Paul made, you'll find that he went westward. He went, some believe, as far as even into Spain and into the Isles of Britain. And the influence of Paul went into the countries of Europe, and we know where we came from. That's our ancestry. And so when our ancestors, when our forefathers came to America, they came looking for God. They came with an indelible impression upon their mind. Those Puritans came, those separatists came, those religious zealots came, wanting to know all they could and to spread the gospel and to have liberty and freedom to preach the gospel in a new world. And we are here tonight because they did that. We are here tonight because there were men that were willing to go into the wilderness and take a group of people, like those pictures depict back there, that at least that one depicts, going into the wilderness of North Carolina and starting a little old church, and out of that church came over 1,000 churches. That's history. And men like George Whitefield going up and down our country and England, all basically the same, back and forth, same time. And everywhere he went, people were getting saved. And I'm glad that's my heritage. I'm glad that's where we came from. And you have the the Reformation that takes place and in Europe, and the ungodliness that had engulfed the church of that day. They said, we're not going to have that any longer. And they went out from that, and we have many movements. And it didn't just happen. It's because God put it in their heart. And may God help us not to be like Saul, but to be like Paul. I like Saul even when he was Saul, other than his attitude that he had against the Christian, because he believed what he believed, and he stood upon it, and he'd have died for it. When God changed his heart and changed his mind, changed his direction, that bulldog stamina that Saul had carried over in his Christian life, and he could end his course and say, I have fought a good fight. I've kept the faith, and I'm ready to be offered. No regrets, no retreats in Paul's method and message that he had. All right, let's stand together tonight.